Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in health, science, and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. Coming up in the show, the Missouri State veterinarian talks about just what it is that his office does and why he's concerned for its future. But first, farm subsidies take a lot of flack from anti-obesity advocates, and it seems like an easy case to make. Farm subsidies encourage farmers to grow more grain, which causes prices to drop and food to get cheaper, which causes us to eat too much. Seems like a simple equation. But as Harvest Public Media's Frank Morris found out, the truth is a bit more complicated.
It's a fact that Americans eat cheap. We spend, on average, less than 10% of our money on food. And though a lot of people, like the patrons of this Kansas City Burger King, are buying too much fast food, it's still a good economic decision.
The smartest, most rational decision is to eat the crappiest food, because everywhere you turn, it's more accessible, more affordable, and more convenient.
Dr. David Willinga at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy in Minneapolis says it's that way by design.
What we've had is a cheap feed grain policy or a cheap calorie policy, and that's been pretty consistent from farm bill to farm bill over the last 30-odd years.
So the farm bill, that big bundle of legislation that includes agricultural subsidies, helps make us fat, right? Well, maybe not. Let's take a closer look at this whole picture.
I'm Ken McCauley. I'm a farmer from White Cloud, Kansas. We're standing on a farm just west of Highland, Kansas.
McCauley says that yes, he's growing more corn, but not because of subsidies.
The expansion that you're hearing about in agriculture today or for the past several years is all about the machinery and the ease of work. Your work's easier because of technology. Our work's easier because of machinery and technology.
Food productivity is more than double, so the real cost is less than half what it was 40, 50 years ago.
Julian Alston is an economist at UC Davis.
That's the big story. And that wasn't caused by subsidies. That was caused by improvements in productivity on the farm.
Farmers are proud of all that productivity, and it has driven crop prices down. But productivity aside, surely farm subsidies themselves make food cheaper. When the government picks up part of the cost of something, the price should go down, right?
What's wrong with that line of thinking is that it doesn't pay attention to how actually farm subsidies do work.
You see, subsidies are not the only way the government influences farmers. Some federal programs do make crops cheaper. Things like subsidized crop insurance and other traditional price supports make food more abundant and reduce prices. But some policies actually increase prices. In that category would be getting paid not to plant. Some farmers get federal money to let land lie fallow. That cuts production and raises prices. Another example would be tariffs. There's a tariff on imported sugar that tends to boost the price of all sweeteners, including corn syrup. Again, raising prices.
The net effect of the whole set of farm supports is to make food more expensive and actually to discourage obesity.
So farm subsidies really have nothing to do with it.
Robert Parlberg, who teaches political science at Wellesley and Harvard, has tried pointing this out.
You almost never get any interest in trying to make the counterargument. People assume that you're a crank if you dare to challenge what everyone knows to be true.
But there are some obesity experts who agree with Parlberg and Alston.
Our food environment has evolved in a way that it's almost perfectly engineered to promote or cause obesity.
Margot Wutan is the director of nutrition policy at the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Wutan says that environment isn't shaped by farm policy nearly as much as it is by food processors and marketers. Even when corn prices doubled, the price of corn flakes barely moved. That's because ingredient costs are minuscule compared to other expenses. On average, less than $1 in $5 consumers spend on food actually goes to farmers and ranchers.
Companies are really competing very aggressively to try to sell their food instead of somebody else's food, and that's promoting more and more food that Americans are eating, and as a result, we're gaining a lot of weight.
So the obesity epidemic in this country is driven by lots of factors, and U.S. farm policy probably doesn't play a big part in the problem. Frank Morris, Harvest Public Media.
I'm Kyle Diaz, and you're listening to Under the Microscope. The Animal Health Division of the Department of Agriculture doesn't get a lot of press, but the division has had a large effect on Missouri farmers. State veterinarian Taylor Woods has headed the division for nearly 20 years, and in that time he's developed policies and procedures to combat numerous diseases that threaten Missouri livestock. St. Louis Public Radio's Marshall Griffin sat down with Woods to talk about these efforts and about the future.
The state veterinarian lays out the disease control measures that leads the state to be free of diseases and or control diseases so that our animals and poultry and our products have a competitive edge with everybody, all the other states, on intrastate, interstate, and international movements of our products. And that's what we do, controlling diseases in the meantime with all of that.
Someone once said that you were responsible for $4 billion worth of business in Missouri. When you hear someone heap that kind of praise on you, how does it make you feel?
Well, yeah, it makes you feel good to have had a hand in the control of diseases such as brucellosis. You know, we started out with brucellosis voluntary in 47. This is a disease in cattle. Also can be a disease in humans, but the program became mandatory in 1955, and I got out of vet school in 59. So I've been working with this disease basically all of my life until I got it eradicated in 2004 in Missouri.
What about the number of young people going into veterinary medicine? Is there any concern about the number that are wanting to become primarily pet doctors as opposed to large animal vets?
Yes, I do have a large concern, and we have worked on this. The governor has been very helpful, and my boss, Dr. Agler, helpful in getting some money set aside for this program for people that would be going to underserved areas to be large animal, basically food production veterinarians, so that we can have a stronger influence out there with the real people for the food animals medicine, as we call it. We need kids that are interested in being a veterinarian. You have a dedication, and we need that dedication. We need that compassion to make this thing work.
That's Under the Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thank you for listening. You can find these stories and more at kbaa.org.